Well, I guess we do have quite a few people out of town, camp and so forth. So nonetheless, good to see all of you again. To begin with this afternoon, I'd like to read a letter that was written to a lady, to a mother of sons that had been fighting in Union Army. Now, some of you may have heard this story, this about this letter, maybe read it before or have heard it, but bear with me, because I think it gives a little bit of insight and leads right into the topic, the subject that I want to talk about this afternoon. The letter goes, "Dear Madam, I have been shown in the files of the War Department a statement of the Adjutant General of Massachusetts that you are the mother of five sons who have died gloriously on the field of battle. I feel how weak and fruitless must be any word of mine which should attempt to beguile you from the grief of a loss so overwhelming. But I can't refrain from tendering you the consolation that may be found in the thanks of the Republic they died to serve or to save. I pray that our Heavenly Father might assuage the anguish of your bereavement and leave you only the cherished memory of the loved and that you've lost, and the solemn pride that must be yours to have laid so costly a sacrifice upon the altar of freedom. Yours very sincerely and respectfully, President Abraham Lincoln." So this letter reflects a quality that I like, again, like I said, what I like to talk about today. You see the lack of this quality all around us. More often than not, we see just the opposite. We witness cruelty, we witness inconsideration, intolerance, impatience, and all other forms of mistreatment of people. You see, much like empathy, this character trait feels what others feel. It embraces the pain, it embraces their brokenness, their heartache, or their suffering of other people. It is far more than pity, and it's far meaningful and deeper than sympathy. Compassion, our subject for today, is mentioned 41 times in Scripture. Webster defines this trait as the deep feeling of sharing the suffering of others with the inclination to give aid or support. So today, let's look at the Christ-like characteristic referred to as compassion. Now, one of the big differences between sympathy and compassion is that sympathy can be shown from a distance. Sympathy can be given without getting involved or causing us any inconvenience whatsoever. You know, you can buy sympathy cards and give to someone with words that are written by someone else that aren't your words. Compassion, on the other hand, requires involvement. To literally suffer with others, to be with them in their pain, to be a part of what they are going through, not from a distance, but closeness, to be a part of what they're having to endure and overcome. As we all know, Jesus Christ was here on earth. While he was here on earth, he set many examples for us to follow. The Gospels clearly reveal that Jesus Christ was a man of compassion. There are many occasions where he is described as being moved by compassion or filled with compassion. In Matthew 9, it records one of those times. In Matthew 9, verse 35, Matthew 9, verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So the compassion of Jesus Christ was active. He wasn't just feeling something for the people. He just wasn't feeling sorry for them or having sympathy for them. He was doing something for them. In verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd." In one reference, it states that when Jesus looked out over the field of the Jews, he cried. he was so saddened by their condition, not only their physical condition, but their spiritual condition, because of the effect that the Pharisees were having on these people. So Jesus Christ was moved with compassion for these people. And that's why he said what he said in verses 37 and 38 of the same chapter. Verse 37, "Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto the harvest." Christ had love and compassion for the people, as witnessed by his healing of the sick and the afflicted. Also by his plea to his disciples to pray that God would send laborers to gather the spiritual harvest. You see, the Pharisees were having a very sad effect on the people. And it was sad to Jesus Christ. And as we've mentioned before, he was so saddened that he cried. Love and compassion are inextricably connected. One who does not love cannot have compassion. And one who does not have compassion cannot love. One who does not love remains self-consumed. If you don't have love, then you are compassionless. You are absorbed, self-absorbed with yourself. But love through compassion allows our hearts to open to others. It engenders our heart to be able to feel and act on what others are feeling or what they're going through. Love gives freely without envy, without prejudice, without ulterior motives. It desires what's best for others. When we have compassion, we put ourselves literally in the shoes of other people. We don't do that just to feel what they're feeling, but we do that to walk in their shoes, to experience what they're going through, to walk with them through this journey that they're having to endure. We go with them, to be with them on this journey of sadness or travail, whatever they're going through. So the key word when we're talking about compassion is action, brethren. It's doing something about what we see. It's doing something about what people are going through. Not just sitting back from the distance and feeling sorry for them or having sympathy for them. To actively share what someone is going through. To do something to help them, to assist them to get through what they're going through. That's what compassion is all about. We know that love is an action verb. To show love requires action. To show compassion shows love. So they're all intertwined with one another. Well, let's look at another example of Jesus having compassion. Let's turn, if we will, to Luke 7. Luke 7 and verse 11. "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and many people. And when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her." You know, Jesus felt for this woman. He had compassion for her. She had already lost her husband. Now she had lost her only son. And it seems he was well thought of in that town because there were so many people following them and walking with them in the funeral procession. Now in verse 13. "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier." This is the frame or the coffin in which the body is carried out to the burial site. "And they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he gave him back to his mother." Now, obviously, we can't raise people from the dead, but the example of Jesus having compassion is a good example for us. It shows that Jesus Christ was a man of compassion. That he was willing to have compassion and do something to console or help someone that's going through a very dear and serious trial, as this woman was. So Jesus Christ was compassionate, and we should strive to have that same compassion. You know, we're always admonished to emulate Jesus Christ. And he is a man of compassion. Then we should be striving to do the same. We need to be striving to do what is in the realm of our power to show love and concern to our fellow man. There's a well-known scripture that says, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. It says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. That's in Proverbs 3:27. Withhold not good from them whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it. When someone is in need, when someone is enduring a particular hardship or trial, you know, we owe it to them to do what we can or what we are able to do to help relieve some of that sorrow, to have compassion on them, to show our love and compassion to them. You know, people respond to compassion. When you are compassionate to a person, they respond to that. And most always, it's positively. When someone shows us compassion, it's hard not to respond in a positive way. Giving and showing compassion is sharing the very nature of God and Jesus Christ. So isn't that something, brethren, that we want to be doing? Sharing the nature of God and Jesus Christ? Let's look at Matthew 20. Matthew 20, and we'll read verses 30 through 34. Matthew 20 and verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, Lord, you son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, Lord, your son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will you that I should do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes might be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. And notice what happens next. They followed him. There's that positive reaction to compassion, brethren. Positive things, good things happen when we show genuine compassion to those that need it, that are yearning for it, as these men were. They were yearning for the compassion of Jesus Christ to restore their eyesight. Setting an example of compassion can have a profound effect on people and in what it inspires them to do. And in this case, it inspired them to follow Jesus Christ. Our example may have the same effect to some degree. I hope we take advantage of every opportunity to show compassion when it's in the power of our hands to do so, when we have the ability to do it. Sure, we can't restore eyesight. We can't raise someone from the dead, but we can have compassion for people, brethren. We can show compassion to them. We can do it in an active way, not from a distance. Another prime example of compassion of Jesus Christ is the parable of the Good Samaritan. I know that's a very unfamiliar account, being facetious, of course, but turn, if we will, to Luke 10. I know this is a very familiar scripture, Luke 10, but I think a review will help us see the difference between sympathy and compassion. Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So in other words, what do I have to do to buy into this thing? What do I have to do to get this eternal life? How much is it going to cost me? He said it to him, what is written in the law? You read it. You know what's there. You know the law. What does it say? Verse 27, and he answered by saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said it to him, you have answered right. You know, this do and you shall live. You know, He answered his own question. But the lawyer wishes to justify himself by asking the question in verse 29, who is my neighbor? Keep in mind, the Jews excluded Samaritans and Gentiles as neighbors. They wouldn't consider them as neighbors. With that in mind, Jesus goes on to show him something a little bit different. In verse 30, again, Jesus answered him by saying, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. So we have a Jew that has been beaten, that has been robbed, and pretty much left for dead on the side of the road. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And he probably just glanced over and just turned back real quick and kept going. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. So maybe the Levite maybe got a little bit closer and looked at him and don't want to have anything to do with that guy. Were these two men compassionate? Did they show and exude the compassion of Jesus Christ? They may have felt sympathy for him. They may have thought, well, this poor guy, man, he's been beaten half to death. You know, but they did nothing to help him. They did not have compassion on him. And that's the big difference between having sympathy and compassion. They took no action to get involved. They did nothing to help this man. He continued bleeding and wounded on the side of the road. The first man says, you know, saw him and he just kept right on going. The second man, you know, it says he looked at him, but then he kept on going. No, and either man had no compassion. Both of them, for some reason, refused to show any compassion to this injured man. You know, maybe there was some prejudice involved. Maybe some degree of, there was a degree of fear. Well, maybe the robbers are still close by. Oh, I better get out of here. Nonetheless, they were afraid of getting involved or refused to get involved. Or maybe they were just in too big a hurry. Well, I've got an appointment here, and well, I've got to be so-and-so. You know, I don't have time to help this person in need. Worse yet, maybe they determined in their view there was no hope for this man. You know, he was already gone. And ultimately, it would just be a waste of time to stop and try to help him. Another human being. And finally, in verse 33, something positive happens, finally, for this poor man. In verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him as soon as he saw him. He didn't ponder. He didn't think about it. He didn't look around to see, you know, if the robbers were still close by. He didn't wonder, well, maybe this is a trap. Do I really have time for this? He didn't think that either. Oh, I'm in a big hurry. I'm running late. I don't have time for this. No, he was willing to have compassion on this man as soon as he saw him. What did that compassion entail? What did he do to fulfill that meaning that of compassion that we're talking about today? In verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, which $64, that was a lot of money back then, and he gave it to the host of the inn, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. You know, how awesome is that, brother? How awesome is that an example for us to follow of compassion? Here this man, he cleaned his wounds, he put him on his donkey or whatever kind of beast or animal that he had with him at the time, and he took him to an inn. He even paid the innkeeper to take care of him. And while he was gone, if there was a more cost involved, he was willing to pay for that as well. That's true, genuine compassion. That's getting involved. That's action. That's going above and beyond. That's showing love for your fellow man. And that's what we need to be striving to do, not only to one another, but to our fellow man. With all this being said, in verse 36, Jesus asked the lawyer, "So which of these three do you think was the neighbor unto the man that fell among the thieves?" Which man of these three was compassionate? Which one of these three showed love to his fellow man? The lawyer, being intelligent, answered in verse 37, "Well, of course, he that showed mercy on him, and he that showed compassion on the man." And then Jesus responds and says, "Go and do likewise." And brethren, we're being told the same thing, to go and do likewise. Through this example, through this parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ is telling us to go and have compassion on your fellow man. We are to do as the Samaritan did and have compassion, to take advantage of an opportunity that we are being afforded. Look at it as an opportunity, not as a nuisance, as a hindrance to what's going on in our lives, but look at it as an opportunity to serve and show love and compassion to your fellow man. Well, it's important to remember the initial question that was asked by the lawyer. What must I do to have eternal life? Christ answers him with this parable of the Good Samaritan, and he makes it clear to him that we are to go and do likewise, to show love and compassion to your fellow man. So this parable here in Luke 10 gives us what I think are four important principles, four important things to think about in regards to compassion. First, religious people can lack compassion. Even though we try our best to be good Christians and follow God's word, we could be lacking in compassion, brethren. And if we are lacking in compassion, we are lacking in love for our fellow man. Do you think the priest and the Levite here in this story consider themselves to be religious people? Of course they did. Brethren, compassion does something. Compassion doesn't pass by on the other side. It doesn't look at a dying person and then just pass by. Hopefully none of us would really do that. But it paints a good picture of how compassion is to be dealt with to our fellow man, how we're supposed to utilize those opportunities. You know, being a member of God's church doesn't necessarily make us compassionate. It's something that we have to cultivate into our lives. It has to be something that we allow to grow in our lives, as we grow spiritually, as we take on the character of Jesus Christ. It has to be a part of us. It has to be a part of us by getting involved and helping someone when the need is there. This leads right into our second point, is that compassion means involvement. And I've already talked about that a little bit. It means getting involved, not being afraid to get involved. Look at verse 33 again. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Notice three things about this Samaritan. First, he was on a journey. He was traveling to a specific destination, yet he was willing to stop and do something that others were willing to not do. If we're traveling, would we be willing to be inconvenienced enough to stop and help someone in need? How many times have we passed up opportunities to extend compassion to someone? In my case, sadly, those instances are many. I'm guilty as charged. Second, he came upon him. Sometimes we don't have to look very far to find a need, do we? It can be right by us, or an opportunity to show compassion. And finally, he had compassion on him, not for him. He didn't just feel sorry for him. He didn't have sympathy for him. He didn't have pity for him. He did something to him, as it says in verse 33, on him. Somehow, or reason, the Samaritan was moved with compassion and didn't take the time to determine who this man was. He didn't care if he was a Jew, a Gentile, or whatever. If he was poor or rich, what was his status in society? He was willing to help the man without answering any of those questions. He could have been his enemy. Who knows? But he saw a need and he did something. He got involved. So we see compassion can be lacking even in religious people, and that compassion takes involvement in our lives. Well, thirdly, compassion takes some of our time. I didn't say a lot of our time, but it could, but compassion takes some of our time. In verse 34, we saw that the Samaritan takes the time to bandage up his wounds. He puts oil and wine on them, which probably cost him quite a bit of money. He takes him to an inn and stays with him for the night to care for him. Then he gives the innkeeper more money in case there's more expenses involved. Compassion does something. Compassion is the act of fulfilling a need. It's the gesture that does something to care for or comfort someone injured, discouraged, or some other need. It doesn't have to be a physical injury. It could be something mentally they're going through, emotionally they're going through. Whatever the situation is, compassion is the act of getting involved and helping someone. You know, if we keep track of the time that we waste each and every day, we'd be amazed at the amount of time we spend without accomplishing anything. And I know that, you know, I need to work on utilizing my time more effectively. But that's time that's gone forever. We'll never be able to take back that time. That time is gone. And that's why we're told in James 4, verse 14, that our life is like a mist. If you want, if you will, just please turn there quickly in James 4, verse 14. Our life is like a vapor. James 4, verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor, that it appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You know, our time is running out. Each and every day, brethren, we have less and less time to acquire godly character, to build and cultivate into our life the type of character that God and Jesus Christ wants us to have. We don't know how much time we have to show God and Jesus Christ what kind of person we really are. What kind of a Christian are we? Where have we come from? How much have we grown? What is the level of our spiritual maturity? Each and every day, that gets shorter. Our time is limited. We need to make the most of our time we have by taking advantage of every opportunity to do good and to show compassion to one another. Moving on, compassion costs something. You know, some people might think the Samaritan was crazy. You know, here he didn't know this man at all. He didn't know who he was from a hill of beans. He, as I mentioned before, he used costly oil and wine to bandage up his wounds. He picks him up, takes him to a local Holiday Inn or whatever it was called back then. And, you know, it was probably rather expensive. We don't know how much that all cost, but he did give the inn $64, as I mentioned, which back then amounted to pretty much 2 days' pay. Are we that giving? Are we that willing to get involved and help someone, to give up 2 days' wages to help someone in need? That's compassion. He then committed to pay him even more if the cost to care for this man amounted to more. You know, that's going way above and beyond. He just didn't help him out of the ditch and put him on his animal and took him somewhere. He went way above and beyond. That's compassion. Something wonderful happens because when we have compassion, it brings out the best in people. Giving of our time, giving of our efforts, our resources to another human being is the epitome of Christian love. It's the essence of compassion. It's the epitome of Christ-like character. It's the essence of godly character. Please turn, if we will, to what I think or believe is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, I think, in 1 John 3, verses 16 and 17. I'll be reading from the NIV. But it says, we know 1 John 3, verse 16. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Verse 17, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? If you have the ability, the wherewithal to show compassion, to extend godly compassion to someone, how can God's love be in you if you refuse to do that? Those aren't my words. You know, that's saying an awful lot, brethren. If we don't make the effort, if we don't take the time, if we don't choose to get involved, how can the love of God be in us? And I know we all want God's love to be in us. We want to be filled with God's love. How important is it to have the love of God in our lives? Without it, where would we be? To put it into a nutshell, compassion does something. It does anything, but it does something to help others. Brethren, it's important to show compassion, and by reading this account, we can see how important of a character trait it is to have compassion. Not just to feel something, but to do something. It's part of the very nature of God and Jesus Christ. Now I want to look at what I think is an excellent example of one person's act of heartfelt compassion and dedication. You can begin turning to Ruth. Ruth 1. I'd like to mention something before I go there, but there was this couple that had been married for 50 years. And one day they sat reflecting on their life, and the wife said, "You know, honey, things have really changed over the years. You used to sit really close to me on the couch, but you haven't done that for a while." He says, "Well, I'll fix that." So the man got up and moved closer to his wife. She says, "You used to hold me tight. You used to put your arms around me more." So the man wrapped his arm around his wife and said, "How's that?" She went on to say, "You used to nuzzle my neck and nibble on my earlobes." All of a sudden, the man jumps up off the couch and runs to his bedroom or dashes out of the room. And she's wondering where he's gone. When he returns, she asks him, "Well, where did you go?" He said, "Well, I had to go get my teeth." My point is, showing love to our husband or wife, to our family and friends, to our fellow men, and is something that we should never grow stale, should never grow weak in our lives. Our love for each other needs to be growing and progressing and increasing, not being stagnant or dormant. Our compassion for one another needs to be growing. Showing compassion is love. And compassion is one of the greatest forms of love, brethren, that we can extend to another human being. That's why I want to briefly look at the story of Ruth and Naomi and how that relationship shows us how true love, commitment, compassion, dedication, you know, how they all can go hand in hand. How amazing the story of Ruth and Naomi is. From this account of Ruth, we can see five practical ways we can learn or develop compassion, just from this story of Ruth and Naomi. To bring us up to verse 16, you know, remember Naomi has been left alone now, and she's grown quite bitter and heartbroken. She's lost her husband, her two sons. And Naomi tells her daughters-in-laws to pack up and leave, you know, just go. I want to be by myself. There's no reason for you to stay around here. There's nothing here anymore. She can see no hope in the future for these ladies. No hope for marriage for her two young ladies, these ladies. No future in sight for them at all. Naomi has developed a pessimistic view of life. Well, one daughter-in-law leaves, but Ruth says, reading now in Ruth 1, verse 16, Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Ruth is like, you know, don't ask me to leave again because I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I don't care where you go, where you live, who your people are, or even who your God is, but they will be mine. Ruth has dedicated her life now to Naomi. Verse 17, where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth tells Naomi that the only way that she will leave her is if she dies, if death separates them. It's an amazing story of dedication and compassion. So what are the five ways compassion is evident or is the common thread in this account of Ruth and Naomi? First, you have compassion for someone by sticking with them through the tough times. You stick with people during the tough times. Ruth said she would stick with Naomi through thick and thin. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 24. I think this certainly describes Ruth. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Or in other words, in order to have friends, you know, you must first be a friend. You can't have friends if you're not friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You know, this is Ruth. This is Ruth's relationship with Naomi now. She had so much compassion for Naomi and what she had gone through that she had dedicated essentially the rest of her life to Naomi. She was willing to give up all future endeavors or whatever laid in the future of her life to stay with Naomi because she had compassion for her, love for her, I'm sure, and dedication and commitment. Secondly, you show compassion by adjusting your life to serve others. You know, we make adjustments throughout our lives. We have to. When we get married, we had to make adjustments. At least I did. No. When we have children, we have to make adjustments in how we live our life. When we have grandchildren, when we change jobs, when we move, we have to make adjustments in our lives constantly. And we have to adjust our lives sometimes for a friend in need. For those that need our help, that require our help, that we love and want to care for and have compassion for. When people are going through trials and hardships, we make adjustments for them. Whether it's our time, our prayers, taking care of them and helping them, maybe even the way that Ruth was willing to take care of Naomi. Likewise, we must be willing to adjust our lives for someone in need, whether it's family, a friend, or a stranger. We have to be willing to adjust our lives a little bit for their sake, for their well-being. That's genuine compassion and love for our fellow man. Next, we show compassion by reaching out of our comfort zone. Reaching out of our comfort zones. You know, Ruth went far beyond her comfort zone to stay with Naomi. The story of the Good Samaritan, he went way out of his comfort zone to take care of this man that had been robbed and beaten on the side of the road. Ruth was willing to sacrifice self for the benefit of Naomi. You know, we have to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for the sake of others sometimes. We have to be able to reach out of our comfort zones for their sake. You think of the marriage vows. What does some of the marriage vows say? For better or worse, richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That's a vow and our commitment that we make to our wife or our husband. These vows say a person is willing to reach beyond his or her comfort zone and stay with that person through the worst times, through the good times, through the bad times, through the hard times, whatever the times you come up on, those vows ensure that you're willing to stay with that person. We show compassion by offering encouraging words. In verse 16, Ruth tells Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave you. Please don't ask me to leave or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go." You know, I can just imagine Naomi and Ruth sitting at a campfire, and maybe Ruth is clasping Naomi's hands, and she's telling her, "Look, I'm here for you. I'm not going to leave you. You're not going to be alone. I'm going to be here for you. Wherever you go, whatever happens to you, I'm going to be there with you. You'll always have someone by your side. You'll always have me to be with you, to walk with you, to endure whatever you go through." That was the compassion that Ruth was willing to have for Naomi. In Proverbs 25, verse 11, it says, the right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry. And words of encouragement and compassion need to be spoken. They need to be spoken because they can have a great impact on how a person makes it through a difficult time, or makes it through a day or an hour. Maybe they're having a bad time going through whatever they're going through. But our words can make a great deal of difference. Taking the time to speak those words, to convey to them the love you have for them, the commitment you have to be here for them if they need you, to be like Ruth was to Naomi. Finally, you show compassion by putting the needs of others above your needs. In verse 18, it says, "When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go without her, she stopped speaking to her." Now, this is not saying that Naomi got mad and just wasn't talking to her anymore. It's saying that Naomi finally realized that it was no use trying to convince her to leave. She had made up her mind to stay with her. So she accepted the fact that Ruth was going to be with her, that she wasn't going to leave. It didn't matter how uncomfortable the journey was going to be. It didn't matter whether there was going to be food to eat, whether or not they were going to have shelter or clothing. Ruth was determined to stick with Naomi at a time when she definitely needed her. This story of Ruth and Naomi is one of my favorites, and it shows how compassion can play a vital role in our relationship with others. No matter what happened, Ruth was going to stay by Naomi's side. Brethren, are we willing to have that mindset of Ruth? The dedication, the commitment, the compassion for one another? At this point, I'd like to read a short story or an article about compassion. It was written by a lady by the name of Sally Scott, and it's entitled "Cultivating Compassion." And I'll just read from this article. "While we are all born with the capacity to be compassionate, there is only one route to becoming a compassionate person. That route is learning and practice. Compassion isn't a quality you can acquire from the outside world. It can't be something that you just all of a sudden have one day. There's only one way to get it, and that is it has to be cultivated within yourself. We have to make it a part of the fabric of our life. Compassion is the heartfelt acknowledgement of a person's difficulties, struggles, challenges, no matter what those may be, who that person is, or what they may have done. Along with this, there's also a genuine desire to, in some meaningful way, alleviate the distress caused by those difficulties, struggles, and challenges. When cultivating our ability to be compassionate, it's important to remember that the feelings we have and whatsoever help we give must be respectful. Otherwise, our compassion becomes pity, and pity only pulls a person down. It makes them withdraw within themselves. The call to live compassionately is constant. It comes from every experience of human injustice that we have and all of life's inequities, be they big or small. Going on in the article, as we learn and grow through our healing from these experiences, the more able we become to respond to them with compassion instead of our many ways of defense. Compassion is an outgrowth of love. Connection, non-judgment, and forgiveness are its hallmarks. It is one of the highest human qualities, and as such, continually asks us to reach higher, to expand into our full potential to love and care for one another. The more healed and whole we become, the less need we have to pass judgment. The more able we are to forgive, and the more connected we become, and the more connected we become to ourselves and others, this is how we create the climate in which compassion thrives. Compassion is not something you give out to other people so much as it is a human quality you express in your way of being. In order to fully express it, you have to fully embrace it. You cannot ever do that until you learn to have compassion for yourself. As we are often our own worst critics and harshest judges, this can be the hardest challenge of cultivating compassion in our life. But remember, one of the things that makes us one of our highest qualities, that makes it one of our highest qualities, is that it does not come with conditions. Everyone is entitled to it. Expanding your ability to be compassionate is a lifelong project steered by love. You see how those go hand in hand? A lifelong project steered by love. Healing takes you through learning that opens up your heart so that whatever seeds of compassion you cultivate can have room to grow. All they need is for you to tend them with dedication and loving effort. Unquote. God and Jesus Christ are perfect in their compassion for mankind. God puts no boundaries on love and compassion. Christ demonstrates fully the compassion and steadfast love of God. Jesus clearly shows compassion in how he treated people every day while he was here on earth and his lifestyle. Through the demonstration of his life, Jesus calls the people of God to practice love, to practice kindness, compassion, and servanthood toward those they encounter and wherever they encounter on a daily basis. Jesus' ministry focused on God's concern for the physical, social, and spiritual needs of others. The compassion of Christ is our model of tenderness and affection for others. It is a feeling for others that is a fundamental and distinctive quality of God. He is the God of all comfort and compassion. Brother, we have to be extending compassion to one another to take on those qualities, the character of God and Jesus Christ, to let love be the steering mechanism that guides us through that endeavor to cultivate compassion into our life. Please turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read verses 3 through 5. Second Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be to God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. We are comforted, but in essence, then in turn, we must be willing to comfort others who are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. In other words, we have to be willing to do unto others as has been done unto us. We've had so much love and mercy and compassion extended to us through Jesus Christ that in hand and in turn, we need to do likewise to our fellow man, to one another. You know, turn about is fair play, I guess you can say. Give what you've been given by God and Jesus Christ. Be willing to give that freely to others as you've been given. And in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Christ's compassion has no limits. It has no boundaries as far as who may come to him, and no matter who they are or what they've done, they can come to Jesus Christ, such as the Canaanite woman mentioned in Matthew 15. Remember, the disciples wanted Christ to send her away? They weren't having very much compassion for her, but Christ set an example for the disciples and the rest of us of having mercy and compassion on her, on this woman and her daughter. Jesus is the ultimate example of selflessness, of compassion, and sacrifice. And as we know, the truest act of compassion was displayed almost 2,000 years ago when God gave his only begotten Son for you and me. He gave his Son, who was sinless, who was perfect in every way, for you and me, who are far from perfect. We have so many flaws and shortcomings. What an act of love and compassion. What Jesus did and was willing to do on our behalf was true, real, pure, unpolluted, undeceptive compassion. He gave his life for the sins of not us, not just one or two or close of his friends. He didn't just give his life for the disciples or the apostles or for all the people he knew at that time or had met in his lifetime, but he did it for the sins of the entire world, past, present, and future. That's ultimate compassion. Compassion that we as humans will never be able to duplicate. But we must be striving to do so nonetheless, to cultivate compassion into our life. His compassion was so great and so perfect that it only had to be done once to save all mankind. One time. God and Christ in turn want and require us to have that same love and compassion for our fellow man. And to do it without setting boundaries, without setting parameters of who we have compassion with, who we have love for, compassion to. To not have any boundaries, to not have any limits of who we extend that compassion to. And his church, you and I, the body of Jesus Christ, we should be the conduit through which people experience the steadfastness of his love and compassion of God. We should be that conduit, brethren. And if we aren't, then we're holding up the mechanism. Are we that pipeline of compassion to our fellow man, to the rest of the world? It's our responsibility as his church to minister to those in need, to bring the healing and comforting compassion of Christ without partiality. So, brethren, let's follow the examples of Jesus Christ, and let's strive to be more compassionate with our families, with our co-workers, with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and to our fellow man. Let's remember compassion is a word of action. It is an act of love to our fellow man. It's not observing from the sidelines. It is the heartfelt care for one another with both the intent and the action to serve. It exemplifies the character of God and who he is and how he responds to his children. So, brethren, in closing, let's remember, as we're told in Colossians 3, verse 12, as God's elect, as God's chosen, as the body of Christ, we are to put on the bowels of mercy, brethren, and we are to be a people filled with compassion.